This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. So welcome back. Alhamdulillah, we're getting back to our حلقة. In Ramadan, I know the attendance went down just before because obviously Ramadan, complete change in routine. Many people were busy. The timing probably was not suitable for many. But I hope you guys were able to follow online, hopefully. If not, hopefully you can catch up. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Last time we dealt with Surah Al-Layl, I believe. So today, inshallah, we're going to talk about Surah Al-Shams. And inshallah, if we are able to do Surah Al-Balad, we will do it. Hopefully more, but let's see how it goes. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الإمام عبد الرحمن السعدي عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى تفسير سورة الشمس وضحاها وهي مكية. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها كذبت ثمود بطغواها إذ انبعث أشقاها فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقياها فكذبوه فعقروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسواها ولا يخاف عقباها. أقسم تعالى بهذه الآيات العظيمة على النفس المفلحة وغيرها من النفوس الفاجرة فقال والشمس وضحاها أي نورها ونفعها الصادر منها والقمر إذا تلاها أي تبعها في المنازل والنور والنهار إذا جلاها أي جلى ما على وجه الأرض وأوضحه والليل إذا يغشاها أي يغشى وجه الأرض فيكون ما عليها مظلما فتعاقب الظلمة والضياء والشمس والقمر على هذا العالم بانتظام وإتقان وقيام لمصالح العباد أكبر دليل على أن الله بكل شيء عليم وعلى كل شيء قدير وأنه المعبود وحده الذي كل معبود سواه فباطل.
سورة الشمس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears an oath concerning the righteous soul and evil soul, by the sun and its light and the benefits that come from it, and by the moon as it follows it, that is, as it follows it through various positions in the sky, and the light of the moon follows the light of the sun, and by the day as it displays it, that is, the sun displays what is on the face of the earth and makes it manifest. And by the night as it conceals it, that is, it conceals the face of the earth so that everything on it is shrouded in darkness. In this world, darkness and light, sun and moon, follow one another in a regular and precise manner that serves people's interests. This is the greatest indication that Allah has knowledge of all things and has power over all things, and that He alone is deserving of worship. Everything that is worshipped besides him is false.
والسماء وما بناها يحتمل أن ما موصولة فيكون الإقسام بالسماء وبانيها الذي هو الله تبارك وتعالى ويحتمل أنها مصدرية فيكون الإقسام بالسماء وبنيانها الذي هو غاية ما يقدر من الإحكام والإتقان والإحسان ونحو ذلك قوله والأرض وما طحاها أي مدها ووسعها فتمكن الخلق حينئذ من الانتفاع بها بجميع وجوه الانتفاع.
And by the heaven and him who built it, this is swearing an oath by the heaven and the one who built it, namely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the earth and him who spread it, that is, he spread it out so that people would be able to benefit from it in all ways. And by the soul and him who fashioned it.
وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا يحتمل أن المراد نفس سائر المخلوقات الحيوانية كما يؤيد هذا العموم، ويحتمل أن المراد بالإقسام بنفس الإنسان المكلف بدليل ما يأتي بعده. وعلى كل، فالنفس آية كبيرة من آياته التي هي حقيقة بالإقسام بها، فإنها في غاية اللطف والخفة، سريعة التنقل والحركة والتغير والتأثر والانفعالات النفسية من الهم والإرادة والقصد والحب والبغض، وهي التي لولاها لكان البدن مجرد تمثال لا فائدة فيه، وتسويتها على هذا الوجه آية من آيات الله العظيمة.
And by the soul and him who fashioned it, it may be that what is meant by the soul here is all living creatures, because it is mentioned in general terms. Or it may be that what is meant here is an oath sworn by the soul of man, who is accountable based on what follows. Whatever the case, the soul is one of the great signs of Allah that deserves to be sworn by. For the soul is extremely subtle and light. It moves about easily, changes easily, and is influenced easily, subject to emotions such as desiring, wanting, aiming, loving, and hating. Without the soul, a body would be a mere image, with nothing good in it. The fact that it is created in such a manner is one of the great signs of Allah.
وقوله قد أفلح من زكاها، أي طهر نفسه من الذنوب، ونقاها من العيوب، ورقاها بطاعة الله، وعلاها بالعلم النافع والعمل الصالح. وقد خاب من دساها، جزاك الله خير. وقد خاب من دساها، أي أخفى نفسه الكريمة التي ليست حقيقة بقمعها وإخفائها، بالتدنس بالرذائل والدنو من العيوب والاقتراف للذنوب، وترك ما يكملها وينميها، واستعمال ما يشينها ويدسيها.
He will indeed attain true success who purifies it and cleanses it of his sins and faults, elevating it through obedience to Allah, attaining beneficial knowledge and doing righteous deeds. And he will indeed fail who corrupts it, that is, corrupts his noble soul that does not deserve to be subjected to impurity through committing immoral deeds, allowing it to develop faults and commit sin, and failing to perfect it and make it grow, and indulging in that which will bring it shame and spoil it.
كذبت ثمود بطغواها، أي بسبب طغيانها وترفعها عن الحق وعتوها على رسل الله، إذ انبعث أشقاها، أي أشقى القبيلة، وهو قدار بن سالف، لعقرها حين اتفقوا على ذلك وأمروه فأتمر لهم، فقال لهم رسول الله صالح عليه السلام محذرا ناقة الله وسقياها، أي احذروا عقر ناقة الله التي جعلها لكم آية عظيمة، ولا تقابلوا نعمة الله عليكم بسقي لبنها أن تعقروها. فكذبوا نبيهم صالحا فعقروها، فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم، أي دمر عليهم، وعمهم بعقابه، وأرسل عليهم الصيحة من فوقهم والرجفة من تحتهم، فأصبحوا جاثمين على ركبهم لا تجد منهم داعيا ولا مجيبا. فسواها، أي سوى بينهم بالعقوبة، ولا يخاف عقباها، أي تبعتها، وكيف يخاف من هو قاهر ولا يخرج عن قهره وتصرفه مخلوق، الحكيم في كل ما قضاه وشرعه، تمت والحمد لله.
Thamud rejected their messenger, for they were transgressors, that is, because of their transgression, rejection of the truth and opposition to the messengers of Allah. When the most wicked among them went forth to kill the she-camel, that is, the most wicked member of the tribe, whose name was Qidar bin Salif. He went forth to hamstring the she-camel when they agreed to that, and he agreed to comply with their instructions. The Messenger of Allah, namely Salih alayhi salam, said to them, warning them, hands off the she-camel of Allah and her drink. That is, beware of hamstringing the she-camel of Allah, which he has made a great sign to you, and do not respond to the blessing that Allah has bestowed upon you, giving you her milk to drink by hamstringing her. But they disbelieved their Prophet Salih and hamstrung her. So their Lord unleashed against them for their sin a punishment that reached them all. That is, he sent upon them destruction and reached them all. he sent upon them destruction that reached them all. He sent against them a blast from above and an earthquake from beneath them, so that they became lifeless, with no one among them calling out or responding. That reached them all, that is, it affected them all equally. And he, Allah, feared not the consequences thereof. How could the one who is the subduer fear the consequences, when no created being is beyond his subjugation and control, and he is the most wise in all that he decrees and prescribes?
Jazakallah. Okay, so a commentary on Surah Al-Shams, and something about a general benefit about the Qur'an. Names given to the surahs, the reason behind the name varies. Sometimes the name of the surah refers to the general theme that runs through the surah. Like, for example, Surah Ar-Rahman. Surah Ar-Rahman, the concept of Allah's mercy and how it manifests runs through the surah. Other surahs, Al-Haqqah, again, for example, or others. Sometimes, and that's the most common, why a surah is named, is given a name, because there is a distinctive feature or piece of information in that surah that is not found in other surahs, something that is highlighted. Surah Al-Baqarah, for example. The story of the Baqarah, of the cow, that Bani Israel were commanded to slaughter, was only mentioned in that surah. But the surah has many themes, and it has a main theme, but it's not named after the theme. It's named after what? The unique incident that is mentioned in it, but not in any other surah. Okay? So a lot of the surahs, Surah Ali Imran, same thing. Okay? Many of the surahs. Surah An-Nisa is a little bit a mixture of both. So the surahs were mainly, most of the surahs are named after something that is unique to them. Something that is unique to them. Surah Al-Shams is one of those as well. What is the theme, the main theme here in this surah? Is in the middle. Happens in the middle. Which, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And the nafs, the human nafs, what is nafs? Is nafs the soul? Or is it the self? Is it the psyche? What is the nafs? Spirit, soul? Is there a difference between the soul and the spirit? In the Arabic language, they're the same, ruh. But why do we have ruh and why do we have nafs? Right? The world of the soul and the world even of the self is not a tangible thing. It's not a bottle that you can draw borders, right? You can tell, you know, what the borders of this are. This is a physical object, you can tell. This is a table, you can tell, you know, height, length, width, right? These are physical objects. Non-physical, metaphysical, that's beyond the physical, realities do not abide by the same rules like physical objects. So there is no clear borders between them. So you will find, and this is very common, you will find sometimes every now and then a video pops up or someone pops up. They say the difference between the self and the nafs and the soul. Between ruh and nafs. And then they try to pin it down and they will quote some verses from the Quran to prove their point. But you know what? Most often you can get other verses that will disprove their point. But they select specific ones. And those people, some of them are actually most of them who appear, especially now on social media, YouTube, stuff like that, they're actually charlatans. They're liars. Because they're trying to treat non-physical objects as physical objects. They try to help people sort the apparent confusion by giving them false promise. And nafs, the word nafs in the Arabic language means soul. And it means the self as the psyche. And it also means entity. And it also means blood. All of that is nafs. Why? Because these realities are not completely independent. They're not completely independent. In that reality, these things don't have clear boundaries. These concepts are actually sort of infused with one another. So the language reflects that reality. Now, in modern days and times, we are just like the philosophers of the Greeks. We don't like this kind of indefinite reality. We like clear borders. So we try to impose that on meanings that do not abide by these rules. Scholars try to differentiate or find the subtle differences between when the word ruh is used, when the word nafs is used. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes refers to, for example, Allah says, at the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, about Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam says to Allah on the Day of Judgment, تَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي وَلَا أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِكَ. I know what's in myself. You know what's in myself. I don't know what's in yourself. In a sense, you know what's in my mind. But I don't know about you. Here, the self of Allah is different than the self of Isa alayhi salam. Number two, the self of Isa here, you know what's in myself. Is he talking about the soul? Not exactly. Is he talking about his mind, psyche? Most likely. Right? But it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfus hina mawtiha. It is Allah who takes nafs when it dies. What is Allah talking about here? The soul. So is the nafs, the soul, or the psyche? Okay, these meanings are sort of, they melt into one another. They're not separate. They're not independent. And we should not seek to pin that down as physical reality. Now here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, and the self, and he has sawwa. What is sawwa? Sawwa means he has completed. In a sense, he has perfected. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّهِ, he created it in the best shape and form. This is similar to لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We created man or humans in the best shape. Shape, physical and mental, psychological. Humans are created in the best shape. Best shape for the purpose of their creation. Somebody says, well, humans could, there's room for improvement. You have to realize, any kind of adjective like perfect, complete, right, has in the background purpose. We are created for the purpose of testing. So we are in the best design for being tested. You might say, if Allah could have created better humans who are more powerful, right? Humans that don't forget. Humans that are virtuous and never sin. Wouldn't that be a more complete creation? The people of Jannah, they don't sin, right? Because their creation is more complete than people in this dunya. Why didn't Allah create us virtuous, infallible? We don't make mistakes. Why? Because that was not the purpose of creating us in this dunya. So Allah created us in the best design that serves the purpose of our creation. That's what ahsani taqweem, the best shape. That's what wanafsin wama sawwaha, and the self and how he perfected it, how he created it, how he designed it. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. This is the central point in the surah. I want to emphasize it more. And it's very important. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. What is Allah talking about? He's talking not exactly about the soul. He's talking about a function of the soul. Something that is born out of the soul, being in the body. You have a sense of self. You want to call it the psyche? You want to call it the mind? That's not incorrect. Okay? But that refers to the heart as well. So you are given a trust that is called the self, that is, has a tendency for good and has a tendency for evil. It's open. It's more of a neutral creation that has the potential. How you manage it, which direction you take it in, that's where it's going to go. This is why Allah says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah inspired it, means Allah allowed it. Allah gave it the proclivity. Allah gave it the tendency, the ability for corruption and for being fixed, for cultivation. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah gave it the ability to go into indecency and evil, or taqwa and virtue and goodness. It has that tendency. So you are more given something like a tool, depending how do you cultivate it, how do you use it, in good or evil. Okay? فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. That's the test, that's the amana that you are given, the trust. You're given that trust, you're given this self that has a tendency for good and evil. Allah said, you should use it in good. And He gave us the instructions. And that's the amana that you are given, the trust. Will you stay truthful to it? Will you stay loyal? Will you fulfill the trust? Or will you what? Ignore it, deny it, ruin it, whatever. That's the test of this life. It is yourself. It is yourself. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. This is what life is gonna boil down to on the Day of Judgment. فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. There will be those who will succeed, win, be saved, salvation, and those who will be ruined and doomed and destined to the hellfire. Based on what? Based on the trust, fulfilling the trust. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. They will be successful, the ones who do what? Zakkaha. What is tazkiyah? And here I need you to get into this. I think we spoke about that, so I want to see who has really learned the meaning of tazkiyah. If not, we'll emphasize it more. What does tazkiyah mean? Put your hand up so you take responsibility for your answer. Don't hide behind the crowd. Yes. Huh? Tathir. What is that in English? Purification. Who agrees? Don't be scared. Wallahi, I don't have any authority for punishment, so don't worry. You're safe, inshallah. Who agrees with that? Okay, who has another opinion? Analysis would be more like thinking, you see? No, we're saying, what is the meaning of tazkiyah? Zakaha. Zakah. Zakah has to do with it, by the way. Zakah. Zakah. What is zakah? Tazkiyah. Zakah. The root. Raf'ah. In English. Soar. Taib. لا لا مش خطأ. خلينا عند التدسية إن شاء الله نجي.
Contemplation.
ها؟
Contemplation.
Contemplation is more like تأمل in the Arabic language. تزكية the root زكاة أو زكايا. Final answer yes.
ها؟
Yeah, but Allah doesn't define. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَاهِرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. So that shows what? Allah says, take from their wealth. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً. Take from their money, a share, from their wealth, a share, which is zakah. تُطَاهِرُهُمْ. تُطَاهِر. Purify them. وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. You purify them and you make tazkiyah. So if they are the same, and in the Quran, there is no repetition. So if there is purification and tazkiyah, that means they have two different meanings. By the way, tazkiyah is used in the context of purification, yes, but that's not the original meaning. What is tazkiyah? I said final, but I'll give the sister a chance here, yes. Excellent. That's the meaning. That's the original meaning. At-tazkiyah in the Arabic language, al-zaka'u. Al-zaka'u means an-nama'u. Growth. Increase. But, because there is no growth and no increase without purification. So this is why the two meanings have become intertwined, that when you mention tazkiyah, even purification, wa-tathir, is part of it. Alright? We're talking about the origin of the word. This is why in the Quran, تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ. You purify them and you make tazkiyah. Why? That shows there is two different words here. So when there is tazkiyah, it includes both. But when one of them is mentioned, it includes both. But when there are two words, each one stands for its unique meaning. Alright? طيب. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. So you are given a nafs. You are given some sort of raw material. You are supposed to do tazkiyah. Which is what? Improvement. You're supposed to grow what you're given. You're supposed to enhance it and purify it. In order to enhance it, you have to purify it. And this is the rule. Why the rule is takhliyah and tahliyah. Clearing and then adding. Just like with the land, Ibn al-Qayyim uses this very often. Very often. He likens the heart to a piece of land. He said, if you want to grow in this piece of land, fruitful, productive vegetation, you need to weed it first. Clear it first, then grow. Because if it still has weed and parasites, parasitic, you know, plants, you will not get a good produce. So you'll have to clear it and then grow the right stuff. Thus, he says, this is what tazkiyah is. So you are given raw material that you are supposed to clarify, purify, and enhance and grow. This is قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And has lost. The one has lost. And خَاب means disappointed. They will be broken. Those who دَسَّاهَا. Dassa, what does this root mean? Dassa. Allah says, أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَىٰ هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about some of the Arabs at the time who only, again, they lived in a time of tribal wars and everything, and if they were invaded, tribes used to invade one another. People felt ashamed of having girls. Why? Because girls would be taken as concubines. And it was a whole tribe would be indicted and would be dishonored for generations if its women are taken as concubines. So this is why they didn't like to have a girl. They wanted to have boys, because boys are going to grow up to be fighters. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when one of them is given the news as his wife was in labor, that it was a female, a baby girl. Huh? يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ. The man can't even show his face to his people. In shame. أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَىٰ هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ بِالتُّرَابِ. Shall he hold on to this baby, take care of it? With what? According to their culture. يُمْسِكُهُ عَلَىٰ هُونٍ. هُون is what? ذِلَّة. Meaning here, humiliation, with the possibility of, you know, again, being taken over or kidnapped or whatever. أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. Or to place it into the sand, into the soil, which is al-maw'uda, buried. This is why they used, some of them used to bury their daughters. Al-maw'uda. يَدُسُّهُ. This is the point. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. The verb is dassa. Dassa means what? To hide something down in a pit. So it's not visible anymore. So it has the meaning of putting something down deeper and hiding it. So, and there's a beautiful tafsir here from Imam al-Sa'di. The way he put it was really nice. It caught my attention. He said about khaba man dassaha akhfa nafsahu al-karima. He says he hid his noble self. And that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put fitrah in us. Allah gave us a head start with goodness. Although Allah gave us the tendency to good and evil, but Allah gave us a head start of good, which is your fitrah. So naturally, your soul, which where the fitrah most likely comes from, calls you for virtue. That's the original state of humans. That's the innate state of fitrah. So Allah gave us a head start. Allah gave us more of a push in the right direction. Now you hide this with what? With evil. That's how the saha is. This is how you spoil it. So the goodness in you, you bury it. You bury it under what? Under evil intentions, false beliefs, evil desires. Everything evil, by the way, any moment you engage with evil, whether it's a thought, it's intention, you entertain a thought, right? And you keep, you know, living this fancy dream in your mind about something, you think, oh, you know, I'm cool, I'm good, as long as I don't act it out. It ruins your heart. What does it do? It becomes a layer. It becomes a layer over the goodness in yourself. It buries it. It covers it. And this is the meaning of kufr, by the way. This is the meaning of kufr. I'm linking a lot of words together. So again, these are common words that we use. It's good that you know where they're coming from. Kufr. Kafara. Interestingly, that rhymes up with the English. Because kufr in the Arabic language, kafara, actually means the same as cover in English. Link it. Kafara, like cover. To cover something. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also refers to the peasants who cultivate the land. Because they put the seed in the soil and they cover it. They are called kuffar. Right? Allah says at the end of Surah Muhammad, right? If I'm not mistaken. About the Prophet Muhammad Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا سِمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ كَزَرْعٍ أَخْرَجَ شَطْأَهُ فَآزَرَهُ فَاسْتَغْلَظَ فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوقِهِ يُعْجِبُ الزَّرَّاعَ لِيَغِيظَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارَ. Okay, so again, so kuffar is mentioned in the Quran in the sense of the peasants. Kuffar, why? Because they cover the seeds in the land. All right, that's the original meaning of the word kafara. The scholars say, why then disbelief is called kufr, kafara? Because they have covered their original goodness with evil. The same meaning as well, قَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. The one who covers that goodness in the self. And some translations mention neglected their self. That's not a literal translation, that's more of taking a very loose translation, taking the general meaning. But the reality of neglecting the self, of not taking care of it, is actually by burying it in the land of evil. So you cover that goodness. And this meaning is mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. For example, Allah says about Fir'aun and his people in Surah Al-Shu'ara. Allah says, no, Surah Al-Naml. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوَّ. And they have acted in denial. They have denied it, rejected it. The truth, the message of Musa alayhi salam. وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ. Whereas their souls and their selves inside had certainty that it was the truth. So they buried that. They buried that inborn faith and belief. They buried that with what? With their denial. And this is the meaning of kafara. to cover that goodness, to cover the seed of faith in your heart. Alright? So that's the same thing. So, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. So the successful ones are truly the ones who do what? Who cultivate this self and the tendencies that are in it. You have a tendency to harbor truth. Your heart is created, your nafs, which is again, your heart is the land or the grounds for yourself to function from. So you have the capacity for knowledge, where you are supposed to fill that capacity with what? With the truth. That's why you read, this is why Allah gave us truths in the Quran. It's full of truths. There is thirst in the heart, in the nafs, for truth. If you don't fill it with truth, you're going to fill it with falsehood. And then we have the capacity for intention. Intention, which is the motivational part of our functioning. You have a drive to do things. You have the desire to act out. That is built on your beliefs, which is the truth or the falsehood that you have embraced. That's going to give rise to your to the desire for action. And then that desire, that intention, translates into action. Translates into action. So you are given these capacities. You take care of these by learning the truth and entertaining good desire. Intentions for that which is good. You seek that which is good. These are the two faculties of your heart or the self. You're supposed to take care. If you ignore them, if you neglect them, if you don't take care of them, you're going to allow falsehood to go into your system. Then falsehood will tell you, you know, you should, this life is worthy of pursuit. Seek it. So this is how false knowledge is going to push you towards unoptimal action, desire. You will act it out as a desire, as a lifestyle, as an action, then as a lifestyle eventually, and that is going to bring you ruin. Right? So this is how we take care of the self. This is why the scholars say, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. الْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. الْهُدَى, guidance. دِينِ الْحَقِّ is the religion of truth. The Mufassirin, they all say, Al-Huda is what? Al-Ilmu al-Nafi', beneficial knowledge, capacity for knowledge. Wal-Din al-Haq, Al-Amal al-Salih, the intention and then the action, the good, righteous intention and action. Alright? So why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention the sun, the moon, the accurate creation of their stations and their position and all that stuff? You know, we can calculate prayer times for thousands of years to come. That means there's a precise measure, there's a precise system for the sun, right? There's also a precise system for the moon. There's a precise system for the moon. And the confusion that happens with regards to Ramadan, beginning of Ramadan, it's not that there's a problem with the moon or the exact stations of the moon, but it actually has to do with two things. First, some mistakes in calculations. Number two, Ramadan starts and ends not only with the birth of the moon, but with the sighting of the moon, which is a human action. That is affected by what? By a lot of factors. It could be the environmental factors, it could be the pollution, it could be the visibility. Right? So it's not the birth of the moon that marks the beginning and the end of the month. It's the sighting. It is the sighting. Alright? So but these are precise measures. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, look at this whole synchronous system in the world. For light there is a source. And for darkness, there is a place. And there are times, fixed times. There's a system that never goes wrong. All of that is designed to the like to the minute details. Everything is figured out. Everything runs according to plan and according to that system. And not only that, this natural phenomenon actually has an impact on you. You organize your day, your human life by means of that. Allah said, وَجْعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا, and we made the daytime a means of living for you. That's a time for you to pursue your living, to pursue your goals, to go about your life. And the night, Allah made it what? سُبَاتًا, time for sleep. And that's the time for optimal health. You know, missing sleep at night creates a lot of problems with your physical physiology and your system. So Allah is saying, you live in a world that is perfect. Everything is figured out. Everything is interconnected. Allah has perfected His creation. And you are part of that creation. You have a precise system working within you. And you were given a prescription, a system for how you can run this system and manage it. And the one who gave you all your livelihood and everything, every detail about your life has been figured out. It's being taken care of. You think Allah's gonna, that Allah figured out, that Allah has put a clear system for you, for your food, for your birth, for your livelihood, for your activities. Allah has made, like Allah has created a precise measure for every detail about every aspect of your life. Then when it comes to the purpose of your life and how you should live this life and the ultimate meaning of this life, Allah is going to leave you like that? Doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the surah with an example of a people who believed otherwise, who did not cultivate themselves. What happened to those people? Allah sent them a messenger. And that shows any departure from the guidance of Allah is going to end up ugly. No matter how humans, you know, you'll find today, let's relate it to today. Today, people will tell you, you know, you need to live just good and not harm anyone. This is a very naive idea. Because this is how it starts, it ends up, these ideas end up with what? With genocide. And human history is full of those. Human history is full of those. Throughout history, there are people who had fancy ideas, utopian ideas about how life should be, right? And we want everyone to be safe, everyone to have rights and all that. This is how it looks like. But because you don't know the dynamics of life, you don't see the back end or the far end of all of this, how this is going to play out. These utopian ideas like socialism and Marxism ended up, you know, wiping out and killing and torturing millions of people. The moment you disagree with them, they see that they have a right to violate you. That you are no longer a human being. You don't have a sanctity. They can destroy your life. They can kill you. They can chase your children. And this has been the story of humanity over and over again. So don't be deluded by the first or early signs of any kind of thought or ideology or way of life. They end up, if they are not, because there's only one truth, Allah and His truth. If you don't align with that, you're going to embrace falsehood. And falsehood will always bring about pain, destruction, ruin. That's how, there's no safety for humans without Allah. There's no way, literally. If humans are left to themselves, they're going to kill each other, ruin each other. And, you know, we have to realize that we are brainwashed today. What the media tells us, we don't know the world we live in. Wallahi, there's a lot of suffering in this world that we are not aware of. But the technologies have become very advanced as to where to channel our attention. That there's a reality right in front of our eyes and we don't see it. We don't see it. You'll find many people say, we live today in the best era of the human history. There has never been many people affluent and happy and given the rights as our times. No, this is how they like to show modern life. But the previous times, there's no one now to apply cosmetics to them. They're just what we know about them. We can see the ugly face for what it is. But there's a lot of stuff going on in our world today. People suffering, people are being violated. So it's all about impression management today. And this is a reality that we have to be aware of. Okay, enough with this surah. So inshallah we can... Surah Al-Balad? Yeah, we can manage inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قال الإمام السعدي رحمه الله تعالى تفسير سورة لا أقسم بهذا البلد. You know what? Let's leave it for next week. So let's consider this more of a warm-up. Inshallah, next week we'll go at a faster pace. I want to give you guys time for questions. And maybe before Maghrib, 10 minutes, that inshallah you make dua. Today is Friday. Questions? Yes, Aban. Wa alaykum as-salam. They do what? Repeat.
You mentioned that some people, by evil thoughts or actions, they cover the chitfa in their hearts. And they think that it's alright as long as they don't act it out. Could you elaborate more on what you meant by that?
That's not exactly what I meant if I said that. No, what I said, people entertain evil intentions. So for example, someone hates another person. They keep imagining in their heart, they're punching them. Or that this person, you know, experiences pain or whatever he has is destroyed. And they entertain that thought and they live in this fancy world. And they think, what? I haven't acted this out. Many people say this is what the Prophet ﷺ said, إن الله قد تجاوز لأمتي عما حدثت به أنفسها ما لم تتكلم به أو تعمل به. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven for my ummah what they had in their minds. Hadith al-nafs, again I'm going to explain what that is. As long as the person doesn't speak it out or act it out. Many people think, okay, yeah, I can envy this person in my heart and hate them and wish them evil as long as I don't translate that in verbally or actionally, then I'm good. Many scholars indicate, no, this is not how it goes. Actually, if you allow this poison in your heart, it's going to eat at your heart and ruin it and destroy the elements of good in the heart. This is not hadith al-nafs. Hadith al-nafs, the most accurate definition of hadith al-nafs is the passing thoughts. You see someone that you don't like them, and you just, a thought passes through your mind, I wish I can punish this person. It's called khatara or khatira, okay? Passing thought. If you don't engage with that, leave it, because that's most likely a whisper from shaitan or from your nafs, the lower self. That's hadith al-nafs. That's the most accurate. But if you engage in the thought and it turns into an inner movie that you play over and over again and you wish evil for that person, this is one of the actions of the heart. This is not hadith al-nafs. This is an action of the heart. You're engaged in that. Ibn al-Qayyim, I can't remember exactly where he mentions this, but he says sometimes, and he's not giving advice for evil, but he's saying sometimes when you entertain a sin, he says if you act it out, it's better than you keep it in and keep having fancy dreams about it. Because you would fall in it and most likely maybe repent or regret. But if you keep it in your mind, you still feel safe because you haven't acted out. But what it does, it eats at your heart. So that's what I meant by this. So don't allow evil to reside in your heart. And just have the hadith in mind, or the misunderstanding of the hadith in mind. Hadith in nafs, most likely, which is sometimes translated as this inner dialogue, it's not an inner dialogue, it's mainly a passing thought. That's something shaitan throws, don't engage in it, don't entertain it. That's the meaning of it. But if you catch it and allow it in, that's exactly the mechanism for creating intention and eventually behavior. Okay, other questions? Does this clarify the point? Why, yeah. Any questions? Yes. Why, yeah. You need to speak up. The most effective way for tazkiyat al-nafs? Turn to Allah. Call upon Him. Cry out. Ask Him to give you the sincerity. And the best way to purify the self, Allah mentioned in the Quran. That He sent down the Quran. as a healing for what's in the chests, in the heart. So really, and the scholars are all agreed, and you will find them saying a version of this statement, that there is nothing better for the heart than contemplating the Quran. So that would be it. Most of us don't do tadabbur, don't do contemplation. Even those who study tafsir, they don't do tadabbur. They're reading some explanation. Tadabbur is a very intense process of engaging with the Quran. And it's really about trying to understand the purpose. And understand the purpose by what? By contemplation. By living, immersing yourself in the verse, allowing the verse to shape you. Okay, it's a high engagement with something. And not, it's not purely intellectual. You allow your heart to go in. You invest in it. Okay, it's a deeper process. So that would be it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us your mission in this life is to do tazkiyah of your nafs. So apparently, everything in Islam feeds into this. Every injunction in Islam feeds into this and boils down to this point. So there's nothing like I can come up with that's a new technology for tazkiyat al-nafs. Automatically when you hear this, this is a hoax. Don't take that. What the Prophet ﷺ came with, that is for tazkiyat al-nafs. That's it. Nothing but what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought or sent down with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Other questions? Is this a question? Go ahead. That's actually a very good question. She's asking, is this a safe country for kids? What do you think? Oh, mashallah. Huh? You know, this requires a lecture, which can get me in trouble. Khair inshallah, there's no safety for anyone until they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright? There's no safety. We live in a... And not only our times, this is how this dunya is designed. We are targeted by an enemy, shaitan, who has sworn, dedicated his life to destroying humans and leading them to the hellfire. So you can't rest. You can't just say, I feel safe now. Because the moment you feel safe, that is shaitan speaking in your head. There's no safety. All right? We are supposed to keep going. We're supposed to keep working. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ Allah says, we've created man in what? To toil. What does that mean? To work hard to Allah. وَلَا تُنَالُ الرَّاحَةُ إِلَّا بِالتَّعَبِ Rest can only be attained by hard work. Yeah. وَقَدْ أَجْمَعَ الْعُلَمَاءِ Ibn al-Qayyim says, وَقَدْ أَجْمَعَ الْعُلَمَاءِ أَنَّ الرَّاحَةَ لَا تُنَالُ بِالرَّاحَةِ That rest can never be attained by rest. Consensus among the scholars. You cannot attain rest by resting. You can only attain rest, which is in Jannah, by hard work. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, in his old age, later years, his son Salih narrates, he says, I was with my dad, and my dad had the books. And you know, at the time they didn't have pens. They had their bottle, small bottle of ink, and their old kind of pens or straw pens that they would write with. This is how they would write. So, a man sees Imam Ahmed. He says, "Ya Imam Ahmed, ila mata ma'al mahbara? And how long are you gonna hold on to this mahbara?" Because he was old, maybe in his late, like 70s, very old man. Imam Ahmed looks at him and he says, مَعَ الْمَحْبَرَةِ إِلَى الْمَقْبَرَةِ With this bottle of ink to the grave. إِنَّمَا أَنَا طَالِبُ عِلْمٍ أَحْيَا فَأَحْيَا طَالِبَ عِلْمٍ I am a seeker of knowledge and I live my life till the last moment as someone who seeks knowledge. This is Imam Ahmed, that one of his students asked him, Ya Imam, أيفتي من حفظ 100,000 حديث؟ They asked Imam Ahmad, someone who has memorized 100,000 hadith narrations, can they give fatwa? قال لا. They said 200,000. قال لا. He said no. They said 300,000. قال لا. He said no. He said 400,000. He said أرجو له. Perhaps on the verge. They said 500,000. He said just starting. Just starting. That's Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala. Alright? So we see that, again, knowledge is deep and knowledge is wide. And oftentimes we know very little, but we are under the impression that I know much. Why? Because we compare ourselves to people who don't know. People who don't know. But the thing is, you know, knowledge requires a lot. And you need to give it so much of yourself. As the scholars of the past said, الْعِلْمُ إِنْ أَعْطَيْتَهُ بَعْضَكَ لَمْ يُعْطِكَ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ أَعْطَيْتَهُ كُلَّكَ أَعْطَاكَ بَعْضَهُ. Knowledge of Islam. If you give it part of yourself, meaning you do part-time, it's not going to give you anything. Meaning it's going to give you little. Not that knowledge is not generous, but knowledge is a preoccupation. It's not something you do on the side. It is one of it's probably the most demanding of all specializations. So, but if you give it all of yourself, it's going to give you some of itself. It's going to give you some. So we need to take knowledge of Islam seriously. That doesn't mean this is addressed to people who want to study to become teachers, to become people of knowledge, not someone who is learning to apply, like you learn your salah, to perform your salah correctly. To know, you know, how to make wudu, what breaks your wudu, what makes your salah valid, what makes it invalid, right? How to fast. You have to give zakah, you have to understand the rulings of zakah, you're doing business, you need to understand what's halal, what's haram, transactions. That's something you have to do where the Prophet, you have to learn. What the Prophet ﷺ said, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. Seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim, meaning what you need to do, what you need to engage in. Okay, we probably have some time for one question. Do we have another question before we close? Yes.
If a person wants to learn Islam, how can he do that?
Short answer: yes. So people who believe in Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. People who are Muslim. Muslim meaning the followers of all the prophets previously and eventually Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But true followers of the true messages of the prophets, okay, not the distorted ones, not the modern versions. And not someone who disbelieves in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and another religion after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If their sins outweigh their good deeds and Allah doesn't forgive them, they have to serve a term in the hellfire. They have to serve a term in the hellfire. And then when they are cleared from that evil, they will be allowed into paradise. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned this. Okay? And why? Because no evil enters Jannah. No evil is allowed into Jannah. So someone has not cultivated themselves properly, so obviously they're going to have more sins. That heart is not going to go into Jannah. It has to be purified. So Jannah is only about good. Nothing but good will enter it. So people either qualify for it or not. And the hellfire is the place for pure evil. For pure evil. Yeah. طيب جزاكم الله خيرا. إن شاء الله we meet next Friday بإذن الله تعالى at 7 o'clock بإذن الله. And if you are able, at least before you come to read Surah Al-Balad, just have a look at it, just read it. It would give you some kind of a head start as we, inshallah, engage with this tafsir. جزاكم الله خيرا. صلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى اله وسلم. جزاك الله خير ريان for reading with us. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.